Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. For this week's roundtable discussion, we have former BYU football standout Brian Logan. What's up, B-Lo?
Hey, that's the first time you called me a standout. Thanks.
No, it's not.
How long have we known each other? Like 12 years?
I've called you, at least in my brain, a standout every time you've come on the show.
Well, thank you.
I have known you for a long time. It's been a great run, B-Lo. And former javelin extraordinaire Ben Bagley.
No standout there. Just
extraordinaire. Okay, what would you rather, standout or extraordinaire?
I guess extraordinaire is all right.
Yeah, come on.
But it'd be a very big stretch.
Ben, in fact, was though in college. You did the javelin.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
For 1 year. Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Nice. How was that?
Not great. Oh. I wasn't very good.
Hence the 1 year. But listen. Collegiate athlete. That's all you got to say to people. You got to tell them what you did for how many years. I was a college athlete. All right, with all the success BYU basketball is having right now, I think a lot of us are like, oh yeah, spring football practices are having right now. And I can't remember the last time I felt like that. So today we're going to break down what we're looking for during spring ball and who we're looking for, as there have been a lot of shifts since last season. But first, Brian, how much weight do you put into spring ball?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think it depends on the nature of the team. I shouldn't say nature, but like where the team is and how they're structured. I think some guys, like veterans, like seniors, I wouldn't put a lot of weight on it, especially if they're proven. Mm-hmm. Guys that are younger, this is another opportunity to move up the roster, to go from number three to go, you know, to two, or certain positions that are competing, like the quarterback position, right? So I think it just depends on how set the roster is, would determine how much, you know, weight I'd put in it. But I remember as a senior, as a veteran, I was kind of chilling.
Really? Yeah. During spring ball?
Mm-hmm. As much as I could, yep.
And then fall camp is kind of where things kick into
second gear. You kind of turn things up a little bit.
So if you're one of the more established guys, spring ball is almost – are you almost kind of looking at what the other guys are bringing to the team? Like maybe the newcomers?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm judging everybody. Yeah, for sure. I think it depends on how solidified the roster is, and then how I would also say how young they are too. Like mm-hmm. when it comes to experience, because you could have seniors that never started a game, and this potentially could be their year to start. Like they're dedicated.
This is it for me.
Yeah. So you know they're working hard and trying to get that last spot. So it depends, but I think it depends on your coaches, right? So even though in my mind I was chilling, I still was under Bronco. So he,
never chilling.
Exactly. So, but I would say like that stress and that pressure, it was completely off, versus, going into my first fall camp.
Ben, from what you've seen, how much does spring ball translate into the fall?
Not a lot. I think it does in certain aspects, but I think just as far as what translates more to the fall is the summer. Mm. I think once spring ball establishes some sort of hierarchy, mm-hmm. not necessarily a finalized depth chart, but I think spring ball establishes a leadership hierarchy on the team. And this is where you're going to get guys stepping up and being exerting themselves, whether it's on the field, but probably more in the locker room. Yeah. We're the team leaders. And I think that starts to grow more in the summer, where it's the player-led programs in the weight room or the workouts. But that starts as those seeds are planted now. I think the spring right now, especially for this BYU team, is where are we filling the holes in the depth chart of guys that left or inadequacies that we had last fall? They didn't bring in a lot of transfers, but they brought in some very meaningful transfers on the defensive mm-hmm. side. The quarterback situation, some of the skills positions, a couple of things on the offensive line. There's holes that need to be filled, and I think the coaches are out there with spring right now. Let's get an idea of what we've got and then say, okay, here's what we need you to work on in the summer. Let's get ready to go for the fall.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is also a time for the players to figure out real legit leadership or like fake leadership or like oh, you just trying to impress the coaches, you know, the type of kid that gets up in front of everybody, he's like, come on guys, and da-da-da, and you want to take your cleat off and throw it at the head, like, dude, come on, sit down, you didn't even play last year, you know, like, so I like Ben's point on that as far as, you know, guys are going to naturally, you know, rise to the occasion and not only going into you know, summer, we kind of have our leaders somewhat established as well. And then that also carries over to fall camp, because that's when us as players, we vote on our team captains.
Right. Well,
and the other part of that, though, is expand by the players. I mean, you've got one very key new coach and two new coaches on the offensive side, and Coach Gilbride and Coach Wood on the offensive line.
Oh, that's a good point.
And Coach Wood, I know that in talking to some of the offensive linemen, they were really excited to see him come in, his enthusiasm, who he was. So the spring is a bonding time for them to get to know the new coach get to know them, and him putting his fingerprint of what's going to be expected for these guys come fall.
Yeah, and for that group right there, it doesn't matter if you're established, if you're, you know, freshman, senior, whatever. It's a blank slate for everybody.
When there's a brand new coach, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't know any of you.
Yep.
So show me what you got.
So the guys that, you know, have experience, they've been in the program, and they're returning starters, they're thinking, okay, I gotta. This is, you know, first impression type of situation, and so I'm not trying to get my job, you know, taken. And then you got guys that maybe have been around for a little bit but haven't had the opportunity to start. Now they're thinking, okay. You know, see, sometimes there's a lot of politics in sports, right?
Yeah.
No.
What?
Come on. Leave that politics for the presidential election.
I'm just trying to edumacate the people.
There's politics in sports starting at age 4.
No, there literally is. And so, you know, there's opportunities for guys that are, you know, maybe second on the depth chart, and they're thinking, okay, I should be started, but these politics, now the politics is removed. And so what do you think they're doing? They're not doing nothing but eating, breathing, and sleeping, you know, spring ball. So that'd be a good group to watch as far as a competition.
Yeah. But you got to love that. You almost wish, you don't wish that all the coaches were replaced every year, obviously, but you almost wish that's kind of how it was everywhere. Every year, clean slate makes the guys work harder, makes them be hungry to compete and see what happens from there. But unfortunately, like you said, as some of the older veteran guys, they're just kind of chilling during spring ball.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Definitely. In true BYU fashion, there is a quarterback debacle going on right now. On a scale from 1 to 10, what would you say is your confidence level on BYU's current QB situation? Ben, what do you think?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, your confidence level. By the way, for those who don't know, we have returning end-of-season starter Jake Retzlaff, and then USF and Baylor transfer Gary Bohannon, along with a few others that aren't talked about, right? Yeah, those are kind of the two that are battling for that starting spot.
Can I say a 5? And I'm not. And most of that's like, can I give it an incomplete grade? Because we don't know. And that's we were joking before we went on the air here, is it was weird when spring football started at BYU with a quarterback competition underway, that there was no excitement and no juice surrounding it. Mm-hmm. Part of that's the success the basketball team's had.
Yeah.
Part of it's the lack of excitement that was generated by the football team last year.
Yeah.
And I think that's carried over a little bit. And part of that is, I mean, Jake Retzlaff was exciting, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way, in his 4 starts last year. I think Oklahoma was exciting, except for one play, and that was really exciting in a very bad way. BYU fans still having nightmares about that. Kalani Sitake still having nightmares about that. Jake Retzlaff still having nightmares about that. Yeah, we all are. But there's that part of it. But, I mean, he showed promise as a young quarterback, but he also showed there's a lot of maturing to go. Now you bring in Gary Bohannon, who's – he had a great year that year at Baylor. He actually tore BYU up in that game. Goes to USF, and it's just like, he's had a mixed bag. He gets injured, and now you don't know what you're going to get out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really don't know. So there is so much unknown about the BYU quarterback competition that it's, like, hard to get excited about.
Yeah.
Because there's – like, you're going to be curious about it, but there's no excitement about it.
Jaren Hall and Zach Wilson, two potential NFL guys, right, that are competing for the starting spot. That's exciting. These two guys, you're like, It's just exactly like you said.
I'm curious about it, but yeah. I don't know how excited about it I am.
Right. What do you think? What's your confidence level?
Yeah. Okay. I'll say it like this. I want Jake to start. I think he should be the starter. I think he's shown enough last year that he can move the offense, that he can make certain throws, and he can make plays with his feet. He's confident. He's a leader. He gave the offense a good spark. The issue we all know is just with the turnovers. Mm-hmm. And you can coach turnovers. I can coach that. But there's certain things that I can't coach you as a quarterback, like how fast your brain processes, right? And certain things like that. So with that being said, I'm confident that he'll win the starting job.
Mm.
So I had to, lay that foundation to say that. And, I was talking to a couple of former players the other day, and they thought that move bringing Gary Bohannon in was to have a solid backup for Jake and not the other way around.
Interesting.
I thought that was very interesting.
I think even more important than that, if you're right, Brian, I'm not saying you're wrong. If you're right and Jake wins the starting job, it might be because they brought Bohannon in to give him competition because this is my favorite because you hear it every press conference. Iron sharpens iron. Yeah. The competition is going to make you exceed and give you your best. Yeah. And the fact that you're bringing in a guy who's got starting experience, who's got college football success in, and he's going to, if nothing else, push you to get better every day, that's a positive and that's a good thing.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see what's going to happen, what's in Aaron Rodgers' mind, because they went after Gary Bohannon after Baylor before, and he chose USF. They wanted him before he went there, and then he got injured, and then they revisited it this past season.
I didn't know that.
Well, and regardless of whatever situation, whoever wins, both are starting at some point next year.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, the days of the same quarterback starting all 13 games, they've gone the way of the T-Rex,
right,
meaning they're extinct.
Something I really like about these two guys, Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff, is they are mature and they're really good leaders. I feel like any interview and what I've seen in them, they're really good men, and I love that. So for me, I want to know who's gaining the players' trust more in practice, who's instilling confidence in the guys around them. BYU needs a guy who knows how to win whatever it takes, and I feel like we did see that with Jake.
Yeah.
He's got that drive, right?
Yeah, he's got that it.
There's the classic when he fumbled against Oklahoma and he ran the length of the field to go get the ball and go tackle the guy.
Pick six.
So like he's got that fire and I do love that. I think Gary Bohannon at Baylor specifically showed that he's a guy that knows how to win. I wouldn't call him an elite quarterback, but I feel like he knows how to win. So I think it's going to be an interesting battle. He's 6'3", 226. I like the size of the guy. I think he's quick. He's got thick legs. He's going to be great with the run game, but Jake Retzlaff is good running too. So those things are intriguing, right, to see who's going to get that starting spot.
What I don't like, he reminds me of Keaton Slovis, the situation.
Gary Bohannon is.
Yeah, situation. This is your third school, right, in your career. And it's kind of like this, and there's no disrespect. Let's say I got married and I got divorced and I got married and then I got divorced. And then I'm about to get married a third time. Probably you may want to take a step back and and this is no disrespect to anybody that's got married and divorced a couple times. I'm just trying to make the analogy, right? Like usually it just doesn't end up working. And I think with Keaton, like and really was it injuries or was it performance or did the offense they need to make a switch just to provide a spark? Like we don't know those, right? Because we're not truly behind the scenes, but I would say based off of the hype and what we knew about Keaton, him coming in didn't really live up to the hype.
Right.
You know what I mean? And maybe it's just like that third marriage. Like it didn't really just not
didn't
live
up to the hype.
Well, I'll say this, and I'm not trying to do anybody's job over there. I'm just gonna pretend like I know what I'm talking about here. But like when's the last time or when's the time that BYU brought in a transfer QB and had success? Like they're not. Mm-hmm. Sorry, BYU fans. You're not Bama. Yeah. You can't go out and say, "Oh, this 5-star QB is in the transfer portal. We want him, and all we got to do is ask, and he'll come." You got to take what's available. Right. And right now, you're getting the Keaton Slovises. You're getting the Gary Bohannons, the guys who've been around the block looking for that next, quote, last chance or another chance.
It is. It's their last chance. And so, that's what it is.
So if you're going to be bringing guys out of the transfer portal, that's what you're going to be bringing in. Well, what BYU, and I think Kalani said this as much as well, and it's not just quarterback position, it's other positions as well. They made that one quick try to fix by bringing in 20-plus transfers last year, where this year they brought in, was it 4 or 5, and most of them was on the defensive end. I think they quickly learned that at BYU, we're not going to build that way. We're not going to be able to be successful in building that way. We need to build through recruiting, through getting guys into our program who want to be in our program, and we can develop them there. And I think that the quarterback position is a huge spot where that has to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I hate that there's not multiple years with these guys. And that's what makes it hard to get excited about, too. You're like, this guy's a one and done. Even if he is going to have the starting spot, he's going to be gone next year. So that's hard to get excited about. I want to know which position group has you most excited, though, coming into this next season. Brian? Any of them?
I think corners, obviously.
Whoa, didn't see that coming.
I was going to switch it up for a second. I almost said receivers. But I think it's more so just Jacob Robinson and his growth. And, he took a huge step last year in his play. And I expect him to be one of the top corners in the Big 12.
Yeah, he was awesome last year.
Maybe even in the nation if he gets – well, I don't think he'll get as much as attention as he did this year because Eddie Hecker was on the other side.
Right.
So, I'm not – and it was good for him, to get that exposure and to get that experience. But, you're going to have a brand-new corner on the other side, so I don't think that he'll get as much attention.
Yeah.
But that's what I watch anyway. But I really don't – especially when I'm watching on TV, I'm forced to watch all the positions because, we don't have the wide angle.
Yeah.
But being in the stadium, how many times I look back, I go, what happened?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I know.
So,
yeah.
I would say the receivers, too, just because I think on paper they should be the best. Well, they're coming back with the most experience.
Mm-hmm.
So usually, that's a sign of being the most, productive.
Yeah.
But we don't know. And I think there's a lot of injuries. You had a new quarterback with Keaton Slovis. You had a new quarterback at the end. It's really that's a good relationship, right? Like, and if that gets altered or changed in some type of way, receivers can't really get into their flow. So because the quarterbacks weren't in a good flow all season, the receivers weren't as well.
Going back to a nightmare moment I referenced earlier.
Oh, right.
That play doesn't happen if there's great chemistry between quarterback and receiver because they know what each other are going to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. 100%.
That's the position group, though, that I'm honestly most excited about because exactly what you said, they're bringing back the most production. You got Chase Roberts, Cody Epps, Keelan Marion, Darius Laster, Parker Kingston. And those are guys that got significant time last year, and they're all coming back. And then you think you're bringing in a pretty decent core group of young guys that who knows how they're going to be mixed in there. So I think wide receiver is the most solid position right now, at least on the offensive side. Ben, what do you think?
I think the positions, going to cheat here, that I'm most excited about is that defensive front seven.
Mm.
I think you saw advances last year under Jay Hill and his defensive scheme. I think Sione Pua is making a big difference with the interior defensive lineman and the way he's coaching them up. And I think they made some additions in the transfer portal and, frankly, couple guys that they brought in is I don't know that the freshmen are going to come in and really be difference makers, but they're bringing in depth, and you're going to need depth to that position. But you're bringing back Tyler Batty at the defensive end. You're bringing back Ben Bywater at linebacker. One guy that I know that they're really excited about that I don't know if he's going to be in the starting group, but he's getting that depth. Ace Kafusi really making some noise at linebacker. I think there's a lot of talent there. In guys that they've brought in, guys that they've got there, Jack Kelly's got me really excited coming from Weber State, one of the transfers they brought in.
Yeah.
Like, these are guys who have shown that they can make plays. Now, last year, there was that defense was exciting, had its moments, also had its bad moments, much like the rest of the BYU football team. But I think year two of Jay Hill, you're going to see an advancement of that, and I think it's headed up by that front seven.
I would blame the offense – for most of those bad moments. Because
we win as a team and we lose as a team, Brian.
Nope.
Point fingers. What did Bronco teach you?
Look, he told me that, hey, we got to win this game because our offense sucks. this is my senior year, right? When we had the struggles, it got down to the point where in practice we were literally practicing. Once we got turnovers, like an interception or a fumble recovery, we were literally practicing laterally back, pitching it back.
Like, we got to score.
And so, you know, to that point, I felt like the offense, not only did they struggle, you know, moving the ball, but also put the defense in backed up situations, you know, fumbling on, you know, the 20-yard line, and now the defense goes out and, you know what I mean? There were a lot of those situations. And I didn't even think about it. Like, the defense is so solid to us now. I didn't even think about, oh, man. Like, there's really no worries over there, especially when you think about the scenario, the situation, and Coach Hill coming in his first year and to completely turn it around. I think that lets you know right there that personnel, it doesn't impact him, or that he can, here's a better way to say it, he can impact almost any personnel.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Bronco. And so regardless of guys transferring or guys staying in or newcomers in, you know, he's going to have, you know, such a drastic impact that you can't really see this defense going downhill. Like, you only just see them, you know, continuing to rise.
And I think he knows which guys will fit best in his system really, really well. So I think the upcoming years are going to be really exciting with Jay Hill to see what that can happen. If he stays, let's hope he stays.
Oh, he's going to be gone.
No, okay. All right, we're not even talking about that. Let's not even put that out there. Which position group has you guys most worried? I'm going to start with this one because it's a group we talked about already. I think it's the offensive line. We saw the impact of the line surprisingly not performing up to par last season and the impact that that had on the offense. There's a new coach in TJ Woods that BYU has high hopes for that hopefully could put it on the right track, install a little more of the nastiness that I feel like was lacking in that offensive line last season. Solid guys coming back in Braden Keim, Connor Pay, Waylon Lapuaho. So hopefully they can take a step forward this season. But for me, that's the position group that has me most worried. And I don't know if worried is the right word, but that I want to see the most growth in. What about you, Ben?
I would disagree with you on the offensive line. In Connor Pay, I trust. Mm-hmm. Like that guy, talk about fire, talk about experience, talk about wanting to succeed and wanting to succeed at BYU. And we talk about in spring ball defining roles of leadership. Connor Pay did that last year.
Yeah.
And frankly, in some comments he made after the season in talking about disappointment of unnamed teammates, if you know, you know, mm-hmm. and other situations, I think he thrust himself out into that front, as the forefront of the offensive line of, hey, I'm going to be the guy, all eyes on me, I will take the darts, I will take the arrows, but I'm also going to expect every one of you guys, my teammates up front, to work as hard as I'm working. Yeah. So I love what that tone that Connor Pay has set. And there's still talent. They didn't lose. Oh, yeah. They lost Kingsley, which is a lot of talent on that offensive line. But they're still bringing back talent. I'm going to just put it right where it needs to be. BYU, it's a quarterback.
Yeah.
There's no excitement there. There's lots of question marks. That's the position I'm most worried about.
Yeah.
The offense struggled last year. Was that the quarterback's fault? Was it the play calling's fault? I don't know. I think it was probably a combination of all. Was it lack of execution on the offensive line? Sure, it's all of that. Yep. But if the offense struggles, there's two people that the fingers get pointed at right away.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback and the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
What position am I worried about? It's going to be quarterback. Let's see him step up into that spotlight where quarterbacks love to be and have the spotlight be bright for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is BYU started running the ball successfully with Oklahoma, right? So I would say the last two games, you saw a little bit in the West Virginia game, but the last three games you saw BYU start to have a running game. And what was the biggest change of why BYU started to have a running game? Because they had a running quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And it opened up the playbook so much, and it looked like the play calling of old, you know, with Jaren and with Zach. And it just looked like things were clicking. And to me, it's like, okay, well, yeah, there may be a couple of guys here or there that was, you know, shifted out just due to, you know, injuries or whatnot. But, man, Aiden Robbins had, like, what, a 200? Did he have, like, 180, 189, 189 yards when BYU barely was going over, like, 50 or 70? Yeah, oh yeah. Or 70?
They weren't even scratching 100
right.
for most of the season.
And so with most of those guys, you know, talent's never the issue. So I'm with Ben. It's the play calling. I think the play calling and the lack of plays that could be called because of a quarterback that couldn't run.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk about our expectations for BYU football this season and if the Cougars can outperform Vegas. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain with Ben Bagley and Brian Logan. I talked with redshirt sophomore wide receiver Parker Kingston after practice this week about where he's improved this year and working with former Cougar great Austin Cauley. Here's that interview.
This is your second spring ball, is that right?
Yep.
How's it felt different from when you first came as a young freshman? How does this year feel?
It's been a lot better, just being more familiar with the offense, knowing everything, being, I guess, what people consider a vet now in our room, because our room is so young. We had a lot leave last year, so it's been good, and being good, actually being able to practice this year, and I got hurt early last year, so it's been good to keep on. Hopefully I don't get hurt, so we'll see.
That's got to be kind of crazy being one of the vets, though, yeah, right? This is your second year. Yeah. Do you feel more confident this spring ball?
Yeah, I feel way more confident. I feel like my game is to another level that better than it was last year, and I feel really confident.
What's that due to? What are some of the specific things you've been working on to get yourself stronger and better for this 2024 season?
Yeah, I've put on – the main goal was putting on weight. I needed to get bigger from last year. I felt every single little hit last year playing at like 174. So I came into spring ball at 186 and trying to get up to 190 and lean down. So that was my biggest emphasis, was getting bigger, and then working on the little stuff with Austin Cauley and just getting my routes right.
So you've been working with Austin Cauley. What's that been like?
It's been awesome just to hear the mind that he has playing with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play and greatest minds. So to hear what he has to say and his side of the game, it's special.
What do you feel like is one of the biggest things that you've learned from him so far?
Just understanding, like, how to run routes off certain coverages. Like, you're always running a route off somebody, no matter what, if it's man or zone. So just going over film and everything from him, it's been really good.
You mentioned that the wide receiver room is young. You have Chase Roberts coming back.
Yeah.
When you take a look at everybody and you've kind of seen how they've done so far in spring, how would you evaluate the wide receivers?
I think we're going to have a really solid room. We got a solid six guys that are going to be probably the main role in the fall, and maybe some young guys sprinkle in, but who knows? We got a solid six guys, and it's going to be a special year.
When the quarterback position is up for grabs like it is this spring, how does that affect you guys as the wide receivers, because they all throw different balls?
Yeah.
So how do you guys deal with that, and how do you move forward from that?
I mean, we just take every rep that we can with both quarterbacks and seeing, like, what timing we like better, what balls we like better. I mean, you can't, like, you're running a route, you're not really paying attention to, oh, this ball is doing this. Like,
right.
So, I mean, as long as the ball gets in our hands, I think we're fine.
You're like, just throw it to me.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
What have you evaluated so far in the spring ball that you really think is going to be a big strength for this BYU football team this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think our offense is going to be one of the most physical offenses in the Big 12. That's our main goal this year, is getting that run game going and being physical on the outside, on the perimeter, and I think we've really done a good job at doing that, and we're just going to keep on doing that.
Hence the adding some weight, right? Was that hard to do?
No, not – I thought it – like, it usually has been pretty hard for me to put on weight, but this year I just ate a ton and lifted, and it helped, so.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Parker.
Thank you.
All right, guys, the folks in Vegas currently have the Cougars' total wins for the 2024 season at 4.5. Do you guys believe that's fair, or is that disrespectful to the BYU Cougars? Bilo, what do you think?
I think that's fair.
You think 4.5 wins?
That might be generous, actually.
Oh, boy. Ben, what do you think?
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
You're talking about in conference, right? You're talking about
overall.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. That's fair. That's fair.
4.5 wins.
Yeah.
So you're saying... So they're most likely going to win those first two games. So you're saying 2-3 game wins or 2-3 wins in conference.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that. So,
what do you think, Ben?
So maybe six. So that's like what six? So I think they make it to a bowl game this year.
Okay, well they have to have a few more wins than that then.
Right, right. So
1.5 to be exact. and I want to remind everybody before we get Vegas is disrespecting. Vegas isn't in the business of respect or disrespect. They're in the business of money. Right,
exactly. Oh, yeah.
They put these lines where they think they're going to get the most action. And usually it's pretty close to what's going to really happen. They know what they're doing. Those huge monuments to sin that weren't built because they're giving money away. That being said, I think it is just a little bit disrespectful in a good way. Based off of the performance last year, I don't think that it is disrespectful.
Yeah.
But I think that what Vegas doesn't do, and rightfully so, is, well, let's project how much they're going to improve based off of being embarrassed or just the pride factor. I think there's some of that here with this BYU team. I think that they will battle to be bowl eligible. I think 2 years in a row not being bowl eligible would be a really, really bad look for Kalani Sitake. I don't think they would put him on the hot seat. But I don't know that that's a pill that he swallows very easily.
He's going to do everything he can to make that bowl game for that exact reason.
Yeah, and I think changes have been made. I think they get bowl eligible, but it's still, I mean, to make that transition from independent to Big 12 conference competitor is not basketball's proven me wrong, but it's not a quick transition. That said, basketball's doing a great job of it. But it's not something that happens quickly.
You know what? I was actually going to reference basketball because no one expected. What did Vegas predict BYU basketball to be?
They're finished. They're picked to finish 13th in the conference.
Yeah. Yes, and they're doing fantastic. Fifth seed in the Big 12 tournament. So I'm hoping that BYU football team does exactly what the basketball team did. You know, they have these really low expectations. Like, look what they did last season. They were not good, so we're going to set the bar really low. Then they make a few changes, and they exceed everybody's expectations. I think what the bare minimum for BYU next year should be has to be a bowl game, right? You have to improve from last season. But what would you guys define as a successful season, seeing what BYU did last year, who they have coming back? What would you define as a successful season for BYU?
A bowl game.
Really? That would be it?
Yeah. No, I don't have lofty expectations. They're not – hey, the college football playoff's expanding to 12. BYU's going to make it. No, they're not. I mean, can they? Sure. But that's unrealistic expectations. I think taking that next step, which is, hey, we didn't get a bowl game last year, we're going to this year, that's a realistic expectation, and I think that would be – my expectation for success for this BYU team.
What do you think, B-Lo?
Yeah, I think for football, it's always making a bowl game. That's like bare minimum.
Oh, yeah.
And then same thing with basketball, it's making the big dance, right? Like those two things, we say that we're successful. I think for me, on top of the bowl game, is how they compete in the games in the games period, right? Just being competitive, not having these blowout losses like at West Virginia, where it looked like they didn't even, show up. Having games like Oklahoma State, those were hard, obviously, because, BYU had the lead and those teams came back and won. But just like with basketball, like, yeah, it's disappointing when the team is up 8 by 18 or 15 or whatever, and they come back and lose. But they're still in every game, most of them, right? I can't really think of
they've never been blown out,
right? There's maybe one game I thought maybe in like garbage time or whatnot, but you never really left a loss like with basketball this year, like frustrated. Like you didn't frustrate it. You were like disappointed, but you weren't hopeless.
Yeah.
You know how many times this season of football I was hopeless? I was like, I'm just here talking so I can get paid. Then start getting cold. I would go home. Remember, I would leave. I would leave and go. Remember. I'm like, yo, I'm
I don't
out.
Know if you want to put that over the air, but yes, I remember that.
I don't care. Look, my the whole point is that it goes back to what Ben said earlier in the beginning of the show. How come nobody's paying attention to BYU football when football is king around here? And it's just that. It's putting a product on the field where it's not even competitive. And so I think that's where I would like to see the program take the next step, is being able to compete in wins or even in losses.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that. I think for me, a successful season, bowl game for sure, a winning record in the Big 12. They don't have to be perfect. Ooh, Ben doesn't know about that one. I saw that face over there. To me, that would be successful. Over 500.
That would be successful.
Over 500 in the Big 12, that's putting you like 7 wins. That's not a crazy expectation. And one of those coming at Rice-Eccles Stadium on November 9th.
So you're going to the default BYU fan, beat Utah. That's a successful season.
Listen, Ben, I grew up a BYU fan.
Bowl game and beat BYU. Actually, we got to add another one.
Bowl game, beat BYU, Big 12.
Beat Utah, win a bowl game, and beat Utah. That's the bare minimum.
There you go. That was a successful season for BYU this year.
Just a bare minimum.
All right, I love it. That does it for us today. Thanks again to Brian Logan and Ben Bagley for coming on the show with me. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode, with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.